Bickley and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley Blast.
Part of the reason I love Michael Jordan is the way he always reassured Bulls fans during the worst of times. I remember in the fog of civic grief following elimination losses to the Bad Boy Pistons, how Jordan would use his press conferences and his platforms to reassure all heartbroken Bulls fans that everything was going to be okay, that he was not going to stop until he delivered all of us to the top of the mountain. I think of that today because that is what I would like most from Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. I would like to hear sounds and signs of their passion and their fury. I would like them to tell us how much they care and how they will not stop until they deliver us that championship we so badly crave. I would like to hear all of that and imagine how much better we would all feel if the words we just heard from Matt Ishbia on Wednesday actually came out of the mouths of Booker and Durant. And think of how the one guy who spoke directly to Suns fans happens to be the head coach who might be on his way to the guillotine. At any rate, we're once again all stuck in a very weird place. There is no resolution yet on Frank Vogel, and after all of this weirdness, there are no guarantees that Durant and Booker want to be in Phoenix next season. Now, I get it. I know all the local beat writers insist the Booker to New York rumors are ridiculous and unfounded, and I really hope they're right. But personally, I would feel much better if I heard some of that stuff from the man himself. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Yeah, roster-wise, you know, everybody talks about the firepower, but, you know, you look around the league, it comes down to the details. I don't want to keep saying that, but it's a super important thing. You can't just go out there and think you're going to win off talent. You know, the game is more complicated than that.
That is Devin Booker after game four, the loss that swept the Suns out of the playoffs, answering the question if he believes this team has the roster to win a championship. He did not say yes or no, but he went to the details part again, which indicates to me that he's leaning no right now.
Right.
We lean too heavily on talent. Real quick, we forgot to mention, Laurie Sturgis, congratulations.
Laurie
was caller number four.
Woo-hoo.
So Laurie's going to see D-backs Padres this weekend. You got two more opportunities to win. Just listen for the D-backs Padres sounder. And if you are the correct caller number, you're going to the game. And then Wolf and Luke have you covered all day long, as well as Burns and Gambo.
There you go.
So we sending people to Chase Field.
Okay, so I want to get... Oh, I'm sorry,
I was just going to lay it out there. Devin Booker, the New York rumors.
The New York rumors.
Started by Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith, like him, hate him, whatever. He has very good basketball sources that you can say about the man, and I doubt that he made that up. Now,
he also has blue and orange pom-poms.
He does. Now, and again, just because he hears that Devin Booker would love to play in New York, that could mean any number of things, but I do want to table this. There seems to be a belief locally that Devin Booker would never do this to us. And I know that I heard Kellen, our guy Kellen, the great Kellen Olsen on Wolf and Luke yesterday, kind of speaking with disdain about the Stephen A. Smith rumors. And I read Gerald Bourget, who writes for PHNX. He said, according to a source in Devin Booker's camp, that this is not on the table, that this is not real. Okay, this idea that he would never do this to us. I have a hard time swallowing that at face value based on what I know of this league, based on what I know of Devin Booker's journey, based on what I saw from him this year, and based on just how where the Suns happen to be at this moment and what is going on in the league. This new generation of young stars, they're all kind of raising up and raising awareness and book. This is supposed to be Book's time. So you wonder about this. Now, with that in mind, I got a text from a basketball source yesterday informing me to watch out for Worldwide Wes. Worldwide Wes is William Wesley, who is a basketball influencer, if you will. Every player in the NBA knows him. He's been called one of the most powerful guys in the NBA. He now works for the Knicks, as does Leon Rose, who once represented Devin Booker. Worldwide Wes was partly responsible, if not directly responsible, for brokering Jalen Brunson's deal to New York. In fact, he got dinged for tampering.
Yep.
I'm just saying it because it crossed my ears. William Wesley, Worldwide Wes, one of Devin Booker's closest friends.
He's a Kentucky guy, right? Or has he's ties
guy,
to Kentucky?
He's the guy that brokered all these kids to Calipari.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm thinking this is where Stephen A. Smith is hearing this. Because it's all seems to be coalescing around this idea that the New York Knicks would love to pair a guy like Devin Booker with Jalen Brunson, and maybe you could get Julius Randle and five number ones in return, and blah, 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 blah. Like Vinny said, the point of making that kind of deal doesn't even seem like something that is even plausible with this owner. He doesn't want draft picks. You don't want first round picks.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean
okay,
to
cut no, off. But I'm just saying that it's certainly not unusual for basketball players to do this, and I think we're all banking on Devin Booker being different. And yeah. I hope that the people who believe that are right.
You brought up something that I think is a two-way street here, and that's the plausibility. Is it plausible for this ownership if it was a package like that? Well, no. Is it plausible for the Knicks at this point? The Knicks are moving on to the second round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They might get to the finals.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they might then the calculus might change.
And right. I'll say this generally speaking, and then we can get more detailed on Devin Booker and his place in Phoenix. I think what we know about Devin Booker is he appreciates the game. He appreciates the bright lights. He talks about it a lot. And his track record playing at Madison Square Garden is pretty impressive. What he did there this year, the buzzer beater, they win that game over the Knicks without Kevin Durant in that game. He rises to the occasion. He appreciates the atmosphere. But I also think Devin Booker is one of many, many, many star players in the NBA that appreciate New York for what it is. And they would love to play there at some point. Or just generally speaking, who wouldn't love to play in New York?
Madison Square Garden.
At Madison Square Garden.
Right.
It's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows there either.
No.
And people forget that now because of what Jalen Brunson has done in his first 2 years. That dude's different.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's focus on Devin Booker's place in Phoenix. And I would be lying to you, and I'm not going to, but if you said, oh, you don't notice anything different about Devin Booker this year. Did I notice a detachment? From my perspective, yes. But I also look at his legacy already, what he's been through in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and I still know for a fact how important the organization from top to bottom is. Devin Booker knows everything that is going on in the organization. And that's important to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that when, you know, the Suns are honoring somebody, he's the guy that makes it a point to come out and be part of that as a representative of the current Suns.
Yes.
To the past Suns.
Yes. The Al McCoy anecdote is at the forefront of that.
Yes. Sean Marion got inducted into the Ring of Honor this year. They did it post-game. The Suns lost that game to the Knicks, I believe. Devin Booker, the last thing he probably wanted to do was go out there and sit through a ceremony, a long ceremony after a game. He did it with a gift in hand to present to Sean Marion. Phoenix means a ton to Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. And that's what these reports from Stephen A. Smith. He gets New York. He doesn't get Phoenix.
That's true.
He doesn't get Devin Booker's connection in Phoenix.
That's true.
So Sarah asked a question in the Rush Hour reboot. Does it make any sense for the Suns to, you know, and Rick Bucher suggested it too. That's the way you really kickstart a reset in Phoenix. No, they're not there.
No.
And I know people are frustrated and will want to blow it up. And they need to make changes. That's not the change you make.
No, and again, I want to be very, very clear that I'm not espousing this, that if this ever comes down, it's because Devin Booker doesn't want to go back into the dark ages. That he might think, okay, my time here is done. This is no longer suited for me, whatever. And I, like I said, I hope that does not happen. I don't see any. I mean, if you're Matt Ishbia, you're dealing with your first case of adversity now. You're dealing with your first dip in popularity, wildly popular before the end of this season, right? For a lot of good reasons.
Yes.
The last thing he's going to be is the guy that trades Devin Booker.
Yeah,
exactly.
Devin Booker's connection to the team, he's been here 9 years, which outdoes the second longest tenured member by 8 years.
And really? I'll say this too, because you brought up World Wide West. He's been in that position with the Knicks since before the bubble kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
June of 2020 is when he got that job.
Yep.
And I remember the rumblings then too. Oh, this is something to look out for.
Yes.
And here we are.
And so the rumblings are coming again because the Knicks are viable, because they've got all the energy, all the excitement.
Well,
they got all the draft picks.
And the Suns were a disappointment.
Logic
tells you, hey, something might be cooking.
Yeah.
There can't be anything.
And I hope everyone's right about that. But at the same time, I would love to hear, and I think Wolf has said the same thing, just some reassurance from Devin Booker. Not so much about him staying, about we got this.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I agree.
We
with
got
that.
This.
Like, why were, you know, after the game, Devin Booker spoke. On the exit interview portion of it, there was two players that spoke. It was Grayson Allen and Bradley Beal.
Yep.
That, I mean, in that circumstance, those words would have gone a long way.
Exactly.
And could have quelled this entire segment
Indeed.
Of this radio show. We will open up the phone lines to you because of the reaction to that press conference a couple days ago from Matt Ishbia and James Jones. Where is your confidence level? What do the Suns need to do? Pick your brains. 602-260-9870. Some open phone time if you'd like to share what's on your mind. Next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. Now that Matt Ishbia has met the media and is meeting with the players, what's next for the Phoenix Suns? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Friday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings here live from the Oxygen Community Studios. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Sarah Cazell, Jarrett Carlin taking you up till 10, right up to the weekend. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! We did make it.
Yeah.
Well, not yet.
Yeah. Well, we're getting close. Yeah. We're getting closer.
The Suns heading into the weekend as well. I wouldn't call what they did on Wednesday damage control. It was a peculiar setting. There's no doubt about it. We didn't know what to expect. Now that we got the comments from Matt Ishbia and James Jones, it was certainly an air of patience, an air of optimism moving forward that they think they got this right. Do you agree? We're opening up the phone line, 602-260-9870. Let us start in Scottsdale and talk to Ty up first here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Ty.
Hey, guys. My confidence level with the team, the players, is high, but with management, it's low. So on average, I'd say I'm just below middling. And there's a reason. James Jones doesn't seem to understand what a point guard is for. So I've got a key stat I'd like you guys to comment on. How many times this season did we see one of the big three bringing the ball up out of the backcourt under a double team? A lot. Mm-hmm. How many times did we see him heave up a half court or deeper shot? Zero, maybe one. Are we expecting the big three to score from the backcourt? Why is it important that the ball is in their hands in the backcourt? Would we rather have the big three split up, two in the front court, one in the backcourt, probably under a double team, instead of having a point guard bringing the ball up and having the big three moving around, creating opportunities? It seems silly to think that we couldn't benefit from a point guard. Guys, tell me I'm not going crazy.
No, you're not going crazy.
I think you bring up great points, Ty. And I'll add to what Ty said. How many times in watching the Suns play over the course of the 86 games that mm-hmm. they played, how many times are you white-knuckling it, thinking that they're not going to get the ball over half court before the eight-second violation?
Listen.
You're getting into the offense. You know, once upon a time, the Phoenix offense, and I know it was a long time ago now, was 7 seconds or less. How many shots did the Suns take in 7 seconds or less this year? You know, the philosophy there from Mike D'Antoni was the first good shot, you take
goes
it.
Goes up.
Now, the Suns almost this year almost had an opposite approach to that in that they passed up good shots to settle for lesser shots or more difficult shots later in the shot clock. Now, when you got talent like Durant and Booker and Beal, you're going to make a lot of those shots. But it certainly didn't it didn't lend itself to the freest flowing, most fluid offense
that
they could have had.
No doubt. Great point.
602-260-9870, the phone number. Scott is in Scottsdale. A caller so good they named the town after him. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Scott?
How you doing, guys? I'm so excited about the first phone call because I thought I was the only knucklehead that felt about Jones the way this guy did. I think Jones is one of the cores of the problem, his ignorance about a point guard. is overlooking Halliburton for Jones, is allowing Crowder to go, his numerous trades that he brought in, guys that didn't work out that still aren't on the team. I think Jones has to go. I think that's where we start. And I'm interested to hear what you guys feel about that.
Yeah, you got it.
I appreciate it, Scott.
I would say a couple things. Number one, I think that the Tyrese Halliburton thing is very, very real. That was a bad mistake. James Jones knows the value of a point guard. He brought in Chris Paul, and he saw the effect that that dude had on a basketball team. He knows he's just in a situation now where he's part of a management team, and there's a lot of uncertainty as exactly who's pulling the strings, who's making the decisions. People think Isaiah Thomas, not the G League star, the former Bad Boy Piston, that James Jones is basically, you know, the face of it, but these decisions are being made above his head.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what that answer is.
I don't know
is.
What the dynamic is, and I'm glad you brought that up, but this is not a 100% James Jones production by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I get Scott's frustration on this particular front, and going back to the Halliburton thing, I was beating the drum on draft night that night.
They don't want him!
They went with Jalen Smith, and that turned out to be a mistake, but for whatever reason, the Suns weren't interested in Tyrese Halliburton. Now, they had just acquired Chris Paul. Maybe that affected their thinking. It's water under the bridge at this point. You can't reverse it. The Jay Crowder thing, that was not a James Jones creation.
No, that was Monty Williams.
That was a Monty Williams creation. So there are more than one. There's more than one cook in the kitchen, certainly. So you can't pin it all on James Jones. Let's go to Tom and Gilbert, who's up next here on Arizona Sports. Hey, Tom.
Gentlemen, again, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the greatest radio show on the planet. I hope all is well. I think I'm just frustrated. I think the press conference was, we're going to talk because we have nothing to say, but you expect us to say something. If they were going to wait and evaluate and look who's available, if we're going to make coaching changes, and some changes are going to come because they already have a coach going to BYU, then wait. Rather them not have said anything until they had something to say than to be tone deaf and say, hey, 49 wins, we had a great year, got a great starting five, blah, 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 blah. Because after that, I quit listening. If the Suns are going to improve their roster, then they have to look at how it's constructed from number 4 through 15. And if it means, you know, trading or talking to or rearranging rotations, then that's what they have to do. But part of what just infuriates me is I'm watching the playoffs now with kind of an optics of what do these teams look like that this great accumulation of talent didn't look like, and it's pace, energy, and direction. And right now, the Suns team, while they might be in Cabo, just didn't have any of that, and I hope they do. Dan, the secret to breaking 80? Play an executive course. Have a great day.
Easier to reach that number when there's not a whole lot of par 4s and 5s.
Listen, I have come to the realization that, yes, I have to kind of really keep my golf courses on the benign side if this is going to happen. No more desert courses. It's just too many out-of-bounds shots.
Don't give up on your dream, Dan Bickley.
Follow your dream. I am, man. Live your truth, baby.
Good calls. We appreciate the activity on the phone calls. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk Suns and NBA. Sirius XM and NBA radio host Justin Termini will join the program after this on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. The Bickley Marotta Mornings continues here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. The Phoenix Suns brass holding a press conference on Wednesday saying all is well despite a 49-win season, a 6-seed, and a sweep at the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is it all well? Here to talk about that and more from Sirius XM NBA Radio, Justin Termini is our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. Justin, good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
From your viewpoint, is all well with the Phoenix Suns? What was your reaction to what Matt Ishbia and James Jones had to say on Wednesday?
Well, I love the passion there from Ishbia. So you want that type of owner that actually cares about winning and losing, and he's going to spend the money. So I think, like, he had that comment about 26 other GMs would probably trade places with where the Suns sit right now. I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe like 26 other teams would trade their ownership, because you do want a guy that does want to win and spend the money. So he's proven that aspect of it. But in regards to, like, trading the roster and the situation, maybe there's five or six teams that would do that, because I think there's a lot of trouble based off the salary cap, where you sit there, the draft picks, where you are with the second apron, the contract that you have there with Bradley Beal, which might be the worst in the sport. So I think the team, as far as the future is concerned, it's not looking bright.
Yeah, listen, and I would agree with you. The idea of 26 teams, I think you could probably name 10 off the top of your head that wouldn't want any part of that, particularly given their financial situation. When you take a look at what the Suns could add, what is a path out if the big three do all want to come back? Is there a path for this basketball team?
Well, I mean, like, I was there on media day and talking to everybody, and the question that I asked everybody months ago was, don't you need a point guard? Like, do you need somebody to set these guys up in tight spots down the stretch, which you had in Chris Paul? Now, you're not going to be able to go out there and get somebody like that for big-time money. It's going to have to be like a minimum contract, right? So is a guy like Chris Paul maybe willing to do that with his situation up there in Golden State? I mean, Kyle Lowry, we saw him play a decent role, I think, for Philadelphia over the last couple of weeks, but maybe that's as high as you could go if those guys are willing to play on minimum money. Yeah. And I'm not saying it specifically has to be one of those two guys, but I do think that you need a veteran playmaker in there, and it's obviously got to be some guy that doesn't make big money. But is a guy like that taking you from no wins in the postseason, not one single win, to winning an NBA championship? The answer to that is no.
We're talking to Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA radio host. I'm going to throw the Suns into a mix with three other teams, two of which are already eliminated, but star-laden teams who have fallen short. Suns, Bucks, Lakers, and I think the Clippers are going to join that group probably tonight, Justin. Of those teams, how would you rank their chances to get back to the mountaintop as currently constructed, or maybe the most likely candidate to blow things up?
Yeah, I mean, I think all three of those teams problematic. With Milwaukee, like, they're really old, right? Outside of Giannis, and like with the Lakers, with Anthony Davis, I guess is on the younger side, although he's injury prone. I mean, the piece that you have is Devin Booker, right? Like, that's the movable piece where you get a ton back. I'm sure that they don't want to move him. The only way they probably do move him is if he demands to be traded. But that's the only thing you get back, like an asset in return. So I think the salary cap situation for some of these other organizations probably a little bit better as well. The draft picks are there for some of these other organizations, like the Lakers are going to have, I think, two or three picks come draft night to be able to deal that holds a little bit more weight than the 22nd overall pick in this year's draft, which is what the Suns can deal along with the 2031 pick, and this year's draft is weak. So I think, like, the assets that maybe some of these other teams have are a little bit better than what Phoenix has. And like I said, none of those other rosters have the contract of Bradley Beal, which I think is maybe the worst in the sport.
Yeah, and I think you're right by stressing zero playoff victories, getting swept in the first round. That's a powerful statement. It's a damning indictment of an offense that was supposed to be unguardable at one point. During that playoff series against Minnesota, they averaged 106.8 points per 100 possessions, which is exactly what the last place Grizzlies did during the regular season. What is going wrong with this offense? Is it a matter of not shooting enough threes, relying on the mid-range? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a good point as well, because we talked to Frank Vogel, I think, on media day, and I said two things. Like, I said the foul shooting, because you guys didn't get to the line the year before. Phoenix didn't get to the line the year before. I said, does that need to improve? And also, you got a bunch of great mid-range shooters, but you don't shoot threes. Now, I think you're rectified getting to the line this year. You guys did that plenty, meaning the Suns. They didn't shoot enough threes, in my estimation. And it's almost like I got in the Celtics case this year for taking too many threes. I thought they relied on it too much. So if they go cold, I think they're susceptible to losing a game or a series in the postseason. It's the opposite with the Suns. Like, you got guys that can shoot the three all over the place. Beal's a high-level shooter. Grayson Allen, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. But they don't shoot enough threes, so they need to do that more. And, you know, that's a key to it. But also, like, I bring this up on the show all the time. When's the last time Kevin Durant was the best player on the floor in a postseason game, or even more so a series? I think you're going to go back to 2021 because he got outplayed in four straight games by Tatum in 2022 when the Nets got swept. Mm-hmm. Last year, if you recall, his first year in Phoenix, the best player on the floor in those games was either Kawhi before he got hurt, Devin Booker, or Jokic, maybe even Jamal Murray in there. And then this year, he got outplayed in every single game by, you know, Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, etc. So it's been a while. Like, he's still really good, but it's been a while since he's played like a top five player in a postseason setting.
Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA radio host. He hosts NBA Today with Eddie Johnson. You can hear him on Sirius XM. He joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Branching out to the rest of the league, I'm very intrigued. I kind of went into the postseason thinking, it's Denver's to lose in the West, and that still might be the case, but the way Minnesota played against the Suns, I'm real curious to find out if that was more Minnesota or more Phoenix, but I think this is shaping up to be a great series. What are your thoughts on that?
So do I, because I think last year they probably played in the toughest, even though the Suns got them twice. I think the matchup that was the most difficult for Denver was Minnesota. All those games were close. They have the size to kind of combat Jokic, and also they've got the perimeter defense, which you guys saw, and a guy like Jaden McDaniels. And Rudy Gobert, like the criticism against him in Utah, well, you play him off the floor in a postseason setting. That was not the case here in round one, nope. And the reason it wasn't because he actually has other defenders surrounding him at a high level, whereas in Utah he did, and he was so dominant in that series against Phoenix. I think he easily make the argument he was better than any Sun in that series. He's really their key to the defense, and you know, now you've got him going up against Jokic, you've got Karl Anthony Towns, you've got Naz Reid, so they can kind of go at him in waves, whereas like even the Lakers last round against Denver couldn't. Anthony Davis had to mirror the minutes there of Jokic. That doesn't have to happen this time around.
All right, your thoughts on this Clippers-Nuggets game. What might this mean if the Clippers fail again? I would imagine being a Clippers fan must be exhausting, never having Kawhi in these big moments, and it's not his fault, obviously. Your thoughts on the repercussions, the implications of what might be going down here?
Yeah, well, it is his fault if he's going to play in the Olympics. Like, he shouldn't be playing in the Olympics this summer when he can never stay healthy for his own team. That to me is a head scratcher. I think the Clippers gave him maybe a contract extension a little too soon. I don't think that Paul George is as good as Kawhi, but he's more reliable than Kawhi Leonard, so if I had to spend the money somewhere, I would have given it to Paul George instead of Kawhi. But yeah, it's been an utter disaster, and the thing that's funny is the team that, they traded to get Paul George, they dealt Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at what turned out to be Jalen Williams. Those two guys were the best player on the floor for Oklahoma City as they swept through the first round. Meanwhile, the Clippers might not get to the second round. They're moving into this new building. You're going to throw all this money at James Harden when, you know, again, we saw what he typically does in the postseason last time out, 7 points on 2-12 shooting. I thought they were a legitimate threat. I thought they were the third best team in the NBA behind Denver and Boston, probably in mid-January, but that's no longer the case.
Before we let you go, Justin, real quick, what do you think the NBA does with the latest fun that Patrick Beverley gave them last night?
I don't know what they do, but he should be suspended for maybe half the season. And I'm not talking about the thing with the reporter. That he should be fined significantly for. But throwing the basketball at a fan, like, that could have kicked off a massive brawl, one. Then he's throwing it at a female fan, and he's doing it with a little zip. I mean, so we get these players like Russell Westbrook complaining because somebody says Russell Westbrook. That's not assault. That's not using a weapon. But basically, Patrick Beverley used the weapon. He could have given somebody a concussion, could have resulted in a lawsuit. So if fans aren't allowed to call Russell Westbrook without getting like kicked out of the arena and banned for good, then there's no way that Patrick Beverley should be suspended 20, 30, 40 games, because you can't have somebody maliciously throwing a ball at somebody's head and doing it twice. He did it twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Never mind what he did with the reporter.
Yeah,
well,
Justin, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining the show today. We really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Justin.
Justin Termini, host of NBA Today with Eddie Johnson on Sirius XM NBA Radio. He joined us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, the Kevin Durant experience continues in Phoenix. We'll dive deeper into that next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Hey, it's Gambo. What are the biggest questions that need answering regarding the Phoenix Suns? Like, should their PA announcer be back? Or is it time for him to retire, be traded?
how much blame does he bear for the Suns getting swept out of the first round? Join us on a Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, starting at straight up 2 o'clock.
I'm going to start a campaign. Gambo for PA announcer.
Oh, yeah.
What would that sound
Devin
like?
Devin Booker! Devin Booker for 1, 2!
Oh, you can't count that high? Is that what you're
saying? Here's the starting lineup for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So Gambo was blaming you because of the Vinny Dark Cloud, the Vinny's Law?
I don't know.
Or was he was just messing?
Milwaukee basket by Danilo Gallinari. Well, he's from Italy. Like, yeah, like not for nothing. I'm going to get a villa there like when I retire. Like, oh, wait. Is this thing on?
Campo is the best.
That's my cousin.
Yeah, right?
The Kevin Durant experience. It's certainly an experience. And one of the things that James Jones said in the press conference Wednesday is really continuing to resonate with people, start conversations, and that is this particular quote.
I tell you, that's a constant focus for us, is to continue to figure out how to maximize Kevin Durant. No one's done it yet. I believe we'll be the first team to do it, because if we can maximize him, we can maximize our entire roster, we're a better team. But that's not an issue. I think Kevin had a phenomenal season this year offensively. I think there's a stretch. He had some of the best stretches of his career this year. So it wasn't an offensive thing. It wasn't just a utilization or a usage thing. It was just the totality of figuring out when and where and how to do it together. We just could not get on the same page. We ran out of time.
Again, that's garnered a lot of response.
Yeah.
Including this from Stephen A. Smith.
Kevin Durant win 2 titles. I'm just trying to make sure I remember. I'm just trying to make sure. Isn't he a 2-time league MVP? When I'm looking at it, doesn't he have 4 scoring titles? Only Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain have more. Doesn't he have 2 NBA Finals MVPs? Only Jordan, LeBron, Shaq, Magic, and Tim Duncan have more. He has more NBA Finals appearances in 16 years than the Suns franchise has in 56 years of existence. But somehow you it's going to be you. You're going to be the one that brings out something in him at age 35 that we haven't seen over the last 16 years. Really? Really?
Look, Stephen A. is not alone. He's a little bit more hysterical.
Animated.
About it than,
hysterical. Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure I remember.
Okay, yeah, listen, I still don't know what James Jones was trying to express there. I really don't. Do you?
What I offered before was, does this mean you're getting the keys? You're giving the keys to the whole offense to Kevin Durant? I don't know. And if that's the case, does that benefit the Phoenix Suns moving forward? I mean, he was fantastic this year for mm-hmm. most of the year in most of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He never really graduated from the frustrating turnover problems. He talked about it on a couple of occasions. And again, if you're going to go down this road of not taking the ball and using the Suns terminology, their organizational terminology now, not taking the ball out of the hands of Durant, Booker, and Beal
mm-hmm.
in terms of whether or not you bring in a point guard. Again, I don't view it that way. You want the ball in the hands of those players, but not necessarily for the totality of every possession.
No. Yes, I totally agree with that. I think there are, and again, I think that's what we're all hoping for. I think best case scenario, Vinny, best case scenario is this basketball team gets a better leader and a better direction and a better offensive blueprint, a better system that sort of really turns this team into what we think it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
It unguardable. The initial quote from Devin Booker, no offense, I just don't know how anyone's going to guard us. That, if if that was the belief then, and we know there's plenty of individual talent here, then you've got to find a way to unlock all of this together. Now, the idea that they didn't have enough time, I tell you, that sounds like an excuse to me. This team is largely together since January, yes. And I use the Olympic model as proof. These guys are all going to go form a team in Paris, and that they're likely going to kick all sorts of backside. And no one's going to say a word about how we didn't have time to gel. It doesn't take that long when you're talking about accomplished NBA veterans. So that's the riddle you got to solve here. And that's assuming everybody's coming back. And the fact that there's no resolution with Frank Vogel yet really seems odd to a lot of people. And you know why? Because it is.
The way this has been approached is certainly opening up questions. Mm-hmm. But going back to what you brought up about Devin Booker, and he did have that quote in October, and it came up after the Suns were swept out, and he said, look, I don't know how anybody's going to guard us. That was the right attitude to have.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Devin Booker, we played a soundbite from him earlier in the show, him talking about, you know, he was asked, do you have the roster to win a championship? And he didn't answer that directly. He went back to the point of you have to pay attention to the details, and you can't rely on the talent.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, shows Devin Booker realized at the beginning of the year, he thought it was going to be talent.
Mm-hmm.
Talent would supersede whatever was going to be thrown at them. And, and as soon as that big three was put together, and as soon as Devin Booker made those quotes, you had really smart basketball people from other teams figuring out ways, because that's what happens. It's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to roll over because you got three really good players.
That's right.
And you saw that the Suns became guardable, and Devin Booker realized that. It's more than just the talent, and I think that was maybe an indication of him saying, okay, we relied way too much on that in year one. And this whole, I know people are frustrated by this idea of patience because it doesn't necessarily jive with how Matt Ishbia has operated as the owner of the Phoenix Suns yet. But I think it would be show a further level of irresponsibility, if you want to call it that, if the Suns were to blow this thing up after 1 year.
I'm not advocating for that.
No
one should be advocating for that. There's got to be a better way out than that. Because if you blow it all up, then you're running into a lot of issues with those pick swaps that you made. Then you're not going to be able to. That's the lesson here, that with all these first round pick swaps, the Suns had the traditional route of tanking, bottoming out, and building back through draft pick. That cannot happen here.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it might be a failure to connect dots. Maybe I'm looking too far into it. Other people are as well. I'm very curious to see what happens if the Clippers lose tonight.
Yeah.
Listen, what their level of patience is going to be.
Right, and again, I think we're all looking for silver linings. We're all looking for, okay, because Ty Lue would be, to me, he would garner respect.
Mm. Certainly. Something to keep an eye on.
Yep.
Arizona sports. D-backs, Padres, ticket giveaway.
Our third one of the morning. Need a caller number, Bick.
Caller number 11, Vinny. Harry Fitzgerald.
Buck Showalter.
Where's 11?
AJ Pollock.
Does anybody wear 11 now? I don't even know. Caller 11. Double digit work for Jarrett Carlin. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. If you are caller number 11, you're headed to see a D-backs Padres game this weekend at Chase Field. Dial carefully. Good luck. Coming up next, Social Studies with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.